G'day everyone and welcome to this week's edition of The Journey. My name is Jude Hennessy and we're entering into what is called the Great Week, sometimes referred to as Holy Week, but certainly central to everything that is part of the life of a Christian, our salvation, as we enter into deeply Jesus following the will of his Father. Now, in saying that, we've got a fair bit to get through. It's a fairly content-heavy show this week, and that's largely because of the fact that we've got a really long, but obviously really poignant, really powerful gospel reading set down for Palm Sunday. That's going to be proclaimed this week by myself and Bishop Brian Mascord. And any of those of you who are connected with the Mass for this Sunday, those from the Catholic Church, but plenty of others from liturgical churches too, we recognise that this is one of the really long gospel readings for the year. It's from Luke 23, verses 1 to 49. It's the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. We're going to get into that now. We're going to then be hearing from the Vicar General in Wollongong, Father Bernard Gordon. And it's a short but a beautiful reflection that he's entitled, A Merciful Saviour. And he's reflecting on what changed for the two criminals that were crucified with Jesus. And you're going to hear Father Bernard really powerfully say that no matter what life has done to us, no matter what mistakes we've made, no matter where we find ourselves, Jesus is our merciful Saviour. That's coming up almost immediately. Bit of a heads up about what else is in the show. We've got some beautiful music, a little bit less music this week to be able to fit all the content into the show. We're going to hear Psalm 21, one of the recordings that we've done in our diocese that is part of the Lenten program that is being used around Australia. It features our musicians Seth Harsh, Fiesta Matele and Michaela Gamondo, composed by Paul Mason. My God, why have you abandoned me? Those words of Jesus on the cross that come from Psalm 21. You'll also be hearing from Mother Hilda Scott today. We've got Father Mark DiBattista on the show as well. Great to have Father Sean Cullen, who wants to talk to us a little bit about this person in the Gospels called Judas. We're going to hear from the guys from Alpha Australia too. We've got Hugh Warmenhoven as he continues to explore the why and the what of Alpha. Great to have these guys contributing to our show and just really encourage people to get involved with this wonderful thing that is Alpha. It's transforming lives, transforming parishes for mission. First up though, in what is clearly a bit more of a somber week for us as we lead into the events of Holy Week and celebrate Palm Sunday, let's hear the gospel proclaimed by Bishop Brian Mascord and myself, and Father Bernard Gordon is giving us our gospel reflection for this week, A Merciful Saviour. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. So glad that you've been able to join us this week on The Journey.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
The elders of the people and the chief priests and scribes rose, and they brought Jesus before Pilate. They began their accusation by saying, "We found this man inciting our people to revolt, opposing payment of the tribute to Caesar, and claiming to be Christ, a king." Pilate put to him this question, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He replied,
"It is you who say it."
Pilate then said to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no case against this man." But they persisted, "He is inflaming the people with his teaching all over Judea. It has come all the way from Galilee, where he started, down to here." When Pilate heard this, he asked if the man were a Galilean, and finding that he came under Herod's jurisdiction, he passed him over to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. Herod was delighted to see Jesus. He had heard about him and had been wanting for a long time to set eyes on him. Moreover, he was hoping to see some miracle worked by him. So he questioned him at some length, but without getting any reply. Meanwhile, the chief priests and the scribes were there, violently pressing their accusations. Then Herod, together with his guards, treated him with contempt and made fun of him. He put a rich cloak on him and sent him back to Pilate. And though Herod and Pilate had been enemies before, they were reconciled that same day. Pilate then summoned the chief priests and the leading men and the people. He said, "You brought this man before me as a political agitator. Now I have gone into the matter myself in your presence and found no case against the man in respect of all the charges you bring against him. Nor has Herod either, since he has sent him back to us. As you can see, the man has done nothing that deserves death. So I shall have him flogged and then let him go." but as one man they howled, "Away with him! Give us Barabbas!" This man had been thrown into prison for causing a riot in the city and for murder. Pilate was anxious to set Jesus free and address them again, but they shouted back, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And for the third time, he spoke to them, "Why? What harm has this man done? I found no case against him that deserves death, so I shall have him punished and then let him go." But they kept on shouting at the top of their voices, demanding that he should be crucified, and their shouts were growing louder. Pilate then gave his verdict. Their demand was to be granted. He released the man they asked for, who had been imprisoned for rioting and murder, and handed Jesus over to them to deal with as they pleased. As they were leading him away, they seized on a man, Simon from Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and made him shoulder the cross and carry it behind Jesus. Large numbers of people followed him, and of women too, who mourned and lamented for him. But Jesus turned to them and said,
"Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep rather for yourselves and for your children. For the days will surely come when people will say, 'Happy are those who are barren, the wombs that have never borne, the breasts that have never suckled.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if men use the green wood like this, what will happen when it is dry?"
Now with him they were also leading out two other criminals to be executed. When they reached the place called the Skull, they crucified him there and the two criminals also, one on the right, the other on the left. Jesus said,
"Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing."
Then they cast lots to share out his clothing. The people stayed there watching him. As for the leaders, they jeered at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the Chosen One." The soldiers mocked him too. And when they approached to offer vinegar, they said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him there was an inscription, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals hanging there abused him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us as well." But the other spoke up and rebuked him, "Have you no fear of God at all? You got the same sentence as he did, but in our case, we deserved it. We're paying for what we did, but this man has done nothing wrong. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied,
"Indeed, I promise you, today you will be with me in paradise."
It was now about the sixth hour, and, with the sun eclipsed, a darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. The veil of the temple was torn right down the middle, and when Jesus had cried out in a loud voice, he said,
"Father, into your hands I commit my spirit."
With these words, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he gave praise to God and said, "This was a great and good man." And when all the people who had gathered for the spectacle saw what had happened, they went home, beating their breasts. All his friends stood at a distance. So also did the women who had accompanied him from Galilee, and they saw all this happen.
The Gospel of the Lord.
And now the Gospel Reflection with Father Bernard Gordon.
We are told in Mark's Gospel that the criminals crucified with Jesus reviled him. But what changed as they died near Jesus? St. Luke informs us that one of the criminals, while dying on his cross, saw who Jesus was and what Jesus could do, even as he died on his cross. After defending Jesus and taking responsibility for his own wrongdoing, this transformed man simply asks to be remembered. In response, Jesus promised him, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." No matter what life has done to us, no matter what mistakes we have made, no matter where we now find ourselves, Jesus is our merciful Saviour. In this knowledge, Can we now turn to Jesus with hope and entrust ourselves to him?
You're listening to The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full. You're listening to The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full.
Now, wisdom from the Abbey with Mother Hilda.
Have you ever had the experience of knowing that the next day or coming days were going to bring something you didn't want? Maybe some surgery or a court case or an encounter with someone. Or maybe just another day you didn't really want to live. Have dread and fear ever consumed you? You perhaps looked for ways to cope with it, rang a friend, or made a big breakfast, or sat in a chair and cried. Have you known what it's like to feel darkness engulf you, so that you cannot see that there will ever be a way forward? No doubt that was something of the experience of Jesus as he rode that donkey to the uncomprehending cheers of the crowds. Perhaps he searched for a face that told him someone understood. In the play Man for All Seasons by Robert Bolt, Thomas More is in the Tower prison, and his wife Alice, along with daughter Meg and her husband Will, come to visit him. Seeing her misery and grumpiness, Thomas tries to cajole her, which does not work. Finally, Thomas says, "Alice, if you tell me you understand, I think I can make a good death if I have to." We can face so very much when there is understanding, either within ourselves or from without. Jesus had the first understanding, the inner understanding. Though how sorely that would be tried. What was that inner understanding? It was simple, really. It was deeply ingrained in him. He knew himself to be held in the loving memory of his Father. All his life had been an experience of trusting and seeking the Father in everything that happened to him. He listened for the Father in everything. So this awful experience was one more way in which the Father was present to him, whether he felt it or not. And best of all, now in the dark, he chose his Father's will. "My food," he said, "is to do the will of my Father, no matter how things looked." Thomas More wrote to his daughter Meg, "I will not mistrust him, Meg. Though I shall feel myself weakening and on the verge of being overcome with fear. Do not be troubled over anything. Nothing can come but what God wills, and I am very sure that whatever that be, however bad it may seem, it shall indeed be the best." Therein lies the call to us in this final week, the call to embrace the will of God in our lives. And it is simple, really. Start each day with a little prayer. For example, "Your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else." And then during the day, say it again as your life unfolds. Start with the little things, the spilt milk, the missed bus, the disappointments. "Your will, nothing more." After a while, it will grow, and you'll find yourself embracing the big things as well. You will come to know that you too are eternally in the memory of God, as He is eternally in the memory of your heart. Please, I beg you, do not let the devil tell you, as he tried to tell Jesus, that the hard things of life are a sign that the Father has ever abandoned you. It's a lie. When it is darkest, God is closest.
Thanks so much to Mother Hilda Scott there. Wisdom from the Abbey is her wonderful segment. She had a piece for this week called Embracing the Will of God, just as we're seeing Jesus do in this Holy Week where we journey to Jerusalem with Jesus, and a reflection there too on drawing the link with Thomas More, St. Thomas More, in the play A Man for All Seasons, and just surrendering to the will of God no matter how difficult, no matter how things look, and trusting in the embrace of God in our lives. Your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Beautiful prayer. Thank you to Mother Hilda Scott. After the break, we're going to be hearing from Father Mark DiBattista. He wants to talk about the lavish intimacy of God and the relationship of love that Jesus is calling us all to in relationship with him and the Father and the Spirit. And in particular, gives a wonderful reflection on the anointing of the feet of Jesus by Mary of Bethany. It's always read on the Monday of Holy Week each year, so it's one of the readings for this week in the series of readings leading into the events of the Easter Triduum from Holy Thursday right and through until the Easter Vigil and the celebration of the resurrection next Sunday. Can't have the resurrection, though, without the cross, and that's the journey we're taking this week. That's after the break, Father Mark DiBattista. First up, though, here's some music, Colin Ray, and a beautiful traditional song, Were You There? Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy, and thanks for joining us this week on The Journey.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you
together on the journey, faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness.
Up to the hill of Calvary, my Savior went courageously, and there he bled and died for me. Hallelujah for the cross. And on that day the world was changed. A final perfect lamb was slain. Let earth and heaven now proclaim, hallelujah for the cross.
cross. Hallelujah, for the war he fought, love has won, death has lost. Hallelujah, for the souls he bought. Hallelujah, for the cross. What could I have done? Could never save. My debt too great for deeds to pay. But God, my Savior, made a way. Hallelujah for the cross. A slave to sin, my life was bound. But all my chains fell to the ground. When Jesus' blood came flowing down. Hallelujah. This hope will guide me into death. Hallelujah for the cross.
Another Lenten connection, this time Father Mark Di Battista.
This week the Church celebrates her holiest week. We'll hear the Gospel of Mary of Bethany anointing the feet of Jesus, always presented on Monday of Holy Week. One of the overarching themes in St. John's Gospel is that the majority of the Gospel is presented within the context of Holy Week. Within the anointing of Jesus' feet, we are drawn into the intimacy of the family of Bethany to have a celebratory meal in honor of Jesus for the raising of Lazarus within the actual context of Holy Week. For the Jewish people, the anointing of the burial ritual was extremely important, but because of the circumstances surrounding his death, Jesus' body was not prepared properly for burial. Hence, John incorporates the anointing of Jesus' body by Mary 6 days before the Passover in anticipation of what will happen very shortly. Moreover, the Church picks up the chronology of this timeline by reading this Gospel passage on the Monday of Holy Week each year. The sheer value of the ointment both indicates the importance of Jesus to the family at Bethany and demonstrates the love with which he was held by Mary and, by inference, Martha and Lazarus. Judas quickly estimates the value to be 300 denarii, which is the equivalent of 300 days' wages for a labourer of that time. If we bear in mind the labourer in Australia would receive an average of $62,000 per annum, we are looking at a jar of ointment valued at over $49,000. The tender gesture of Mary as she anointed the feet of Jesus and then wiping them with her hair is something that a wife would scarcely do for her husband. Yet, seeing her love and knowing her heart, Jesus receives her lavish gift and defends her against Judas's criticism because she was saving it for the day of his burial. More than likely, this ointment would originally have been set aside for the members of this family, but it has been used instead for Christ. If we had to place a value on our love for Jesus, would we be as lavish as Mary of Bethany? May we always remember that the measure we measure out is the measure we will receive in return.
Well, thanks so much to Father Mark DiBattista there. Lavish intimacy is what he called that that God spot there, a reflection on the lavish intimacy of Mary of Bethany anointing the feet of Jesus. She's criticized for it, that's for sure, but as Father Mark says, if we had to place a value on our love for Jesus, would we be as lavish as Mary was in this reading. After the break, we're going to delve into a little more another character who's central to this week, and it's the character of Judas. And Father Sean Cullen, who's the parish priest down in Barrel, Mittagong, Southern Highlands there, south of Sydney, wants to open our minds to some of the things, some of the traps, some of the sin that Judas fell into. I think you'll find it really challenging, really eye-opening. That's after the break. First up, though, here's Crowder, featuring Torrin Wells, and the song is All My Hope. Faith, hope, love, and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. We're entering into Holy Week, and you are on the journey.
I'm forgiven.
faith, hope, love and life. This is The Journey.
With another Lenten connection, here's Father Sean Cullen.
What happened to Judas? When he joined Jesus and the others, it was probably with high hopes and expectations. Jesus apparently saw something in him, otherwise he would never have called him. And Judas must have seen something attractive in Jesus to be drawn to him. Somewhere along the journey, all of that was lost. Judas forgot what he was meant to accomplish and joined those who plotted Jesus' death. Where did all the good in Judas go in such a relatively short time? In a much less damaging way, we can see it in people. For some reason, they lose their ideals. They start by planning to change the world and end up aspiring to climb the ladder of success and wealth. Once, their hopes were for a better world, but now they are for their own personal comfort and convenience. For Judas, it had something to do with money. Money had some kind of grip on Judas. Who knows what he did with it, but it was important enough to make him resort to theft and selling out his friend to get it. Falling in love with money opens up a life to evil. Few things can erode noble ideals by becoming a slave to money. The other factor was his ego. Some believe that Judas betrayed Jesus to force him to act. Once arrested, Jesus would stop this talk about love and go to war. We are never more dangerous than when we are sure of our position, because believing we are always right leaves little room for tolerance and love. Lord, save us from exchanging ideals for ego by keeping us faithful to the commitments we have accepted. Amen.
Thanks so much to Father Sean Cullen there. He just pondered what happened to Judas. He joined Jesus with high hopes and expectations and was in Jesus' inner circle, but somewhere along the way, Judas lost his ideals. He became controlled by other stuff, by money, perhaps power, perhaps forcing the hand of Jesus, rather than, "Thy will be done, Lord, my will be done." Got to be aware of it. We've got to be aware of it in our own lives too. And thanks to Father Sean Cullen for making that clear and obvious for us. Big show, touching on some pretty major content this week, as we should, as we dive into Holy Week. After the break, we're going to finish with a wonderful guy, Hugh Warmenhoven. He's from Alpha Australia. They're awesome, doing incredible things, helping churches to rediscover their why and giving them great tools, great opportunities to connect with others. We're going to hear all about that from Hugh Warmenhoven in Alpha Australia after the break. First up, though, is Chris Tomlin. A beautiful song about what's coming this week, the cross. It's called At the Cross. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. And you're still on the journey.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, at the cross, there's a place
together on the journey. Faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness.
And now, here's Hugh from Alpha Australia.
I don't know about you, but sometimes I can't help but complicate things. In those moments, I always try to go back to the simple question of why. Alpha's why is really simple. It's about making spaces. I mean, just imagine. Imagine a space where you can invite anyone to ask questions of faith, life, and meaning. It can be a space online, in person, or even a bit of both. It can be for a student, a family member, a grandparent, or even a church leader. And it can be a space where you belong, where you can explore what you believe, and you can become who God created you to be. So if that's the why, then the what must come next. At the heart of Alpha, there are three key principles that I believe can be the foundation of nearly any formation opportunity that draws you more fully into the life and the mission of our church. Connection, content, and conversation. Firstly, connection. Whether it's a group of friends gathered around a kitchen table or a quick online catch-up, times of connecting are crucial. After all, we are created for community. So whether in person over a meal or virtually with a cup of tea, all sessions at Alpha start with a time to connect, to relax, and to build friendships based on trust that last. Secondly, Alpha is designed to engage people from all walks of life and inspire conversation. They explore the big issues of life and faith and unpack the basics of Christian belief, what might be known as the kerygma, the fundamental proclamation of the gospel. Questions like, is there more to life than this? Who is Jesus and why did he die? Why and how do I pray? And how does God guide me? Finally, exploring the faith leads to a response. And for so many, this comes through the chance to share and discuss reflections on these questions of faith, life, and meaning. There's no obligation to say anything, and there's genuinely nothing you can't say. It's just an opportunity to hear from others and contribute your own perspective in an honest and an open environment. And that's it. Connection, content, and conversation. We've loved to journey with you as we've just explored really briefly what lies at the heart of Alpha on this episode of Last Things First. But if you want to know more about Alpha or maybe even find an Alpha near you, then head over to alpha.org.au. We'd love to connect with you as together we can make Jesus' last command our first priority.
Beautiful song to finish with there. It's Michael Sweet. It's called Calvary. Bit of a rockier version than some of the other things we've heard on the show this week. It's his own composition. And that's a great way to finish the show. Thank you to Michael Sweet. Thank you to Max Norden, who's put the show together. Thank you to all of our contributors. We just heard from Hugh Warmenhoven from Alpha Australia, who wanted to talk about connection, content and conversation as one of the great things that Alpha gives you. As Hugh continues to explore the why and the what of Alpha for us. Thank you to him. Thank you to Father Sean Cullen, to Father Mark DiBattista. Great to have Mother Hilda Scott and the Vicar General from Diocese of Wollongong, Father Bernard Gordon. We had some big hitters today, that's for sure. And right back at the top, Bishop Brian Mascord proclaiming the gospel for us too as we enter into Holy Week, celebrating Palm Sunday. If you're listening today on Palm Sunday, but this show hopefully will help you journey right through the week that is Holy Week as we head towards Easter, head towards the resurrection. But to get there, I'm going to embrace the cross first. Hope you have a great week. Hope you have a really prayerful week doing so. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy, and you've been on The Journey.
The Journey is presented by Jude Hennessy and produced by Max Norden from the Office of the Bishop in the Catholic Diocese of Wollongong.